Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I'm your man, Al Martin. Happy Monday to you all. It is June 17th, 2019. First off, I want to start by saying, again, happy Father's Day to you all. Happy Father's Day weekend to you all. I really hope you guys had a fantastic one. Hopefully your family spoiled you, all the dads out there, with some gifts, some attention, maybe no attention. Maybe you just wanted some alone time to watch sports or go see a movie. Who knows? I just really hope all the dads out there had a great Father's Day. All right, but happy Monday. It's back to business here on WKAR's Current Sports. We've got a great show in store for you. We've got Connor Mathis as the man behind the glass on this Monday edition of Current Sports. And, you know, Connor, how about we lead the show with some Tigers? How's that sound? Tigers?
Ooh, Tigers.
Or some boxing. Or UFC.
Oh, boxing though! I did watch Fury knock that guy out. That was a fun fight.
Yeah, fun fight. We won't be leaving the show with that.
No Tyson, no Fury. What a shame!
I know. What a shame, right? Because the obvious story. If we led the show with something else, I should be slapped. I should be fired from WKAR's Current Sports if I did not lead the show with the biggest story that really broke the internet over the weekend. Anthony Davis is now a member of the Purple and Gold. How about that? He is a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, teaming up with, in my opinion, the second greatest basketball player of all time in LeBron James. And, you know, this is a trade that, you know, when it broke, my goodness, I mean, takes from here to Pluto, people's Facebook statuses blowing up, Twitter, everybody weighing in on Twitter. I hop on Snapchat. People are weighing in on Snapchat and Instagram. It's crazy right now because this is a historic trade for a lot of different reasons, which I'll break down in just a moment. And there are many out there because there are so many angles to this. I'm gonna tackle the ones that I feel are the most important here on WKAR's Current Sports, and I am going to address the big take out there that a lot of people believe that the Lakers are now the NBA championship favorites for next season. Don't believe me? Well, look at the odds in Vegas now. It has shifted, folks. After the AD trade was announced that he was going from New Orleans to LA, the odds are now in favor of the Lakers to win the championship at 3-1. For next season. Pretty remarkable, right? I'm going to dissect that. Also, the big question, who won this trade? Was it New Orleans? Was it the Lakers? Did New Orleans give up way too much? Did the Lakers have to make this move? I'll address that. And I'll address the future of both of these teams. I want to look at the two to five-year future for both of these teams, all right? So, no, Connor, I'm sorry. We won't be talking about any UFC or any boxing. That was a joke.
No boxing. Wow.
No Tigers. Oh, my goodness.
I was really looking forward to breaking down the Tigers, Al. I mean, you know me, big baseball guy.
I know. You are. You're a diehard baseball guy, especially with the Tigers. No. Again, folks, the big story that's going to lead the show, the foundational story of the show, is going to be the Anthony Davis trade. Going to have some fun with this topic, all right? Also, later on this hour, I'm going to give a big shout-out to Gary Woodland. for winning the U.S. Open. That was fun to watch. You know, 5 hours of golf on Father's Day at one of the most beautiful courses on the PGA Tour, watching Gary Woodland, who is notoriously known as one of the nicest guys on the tour. And you saw that on the 18th hole when he, I mean, what a way to finish it, right? That long birdie putt, you know, to put it in the bag. You saw many members of the tour wait after their rounds were done. They waited on the 18th hole just to congratulate Gary Woodland on that U.S. Open win. So I want to weigh in on that. And then on the back end of the show, I guess maybe that is when you can talk some UFC or boxing, Connor. We'll have weekend winners for you, where we'll look at the, you know, we'll take a broader look at the sporting world and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend in the world of sports and beyond and the worst weekend in the world of sports and beyond. All right, we'll do all of that while, of course, inviting you all beautiful people to be a part of the hour. Would love to hear from you. Definitely want to get your thoughts on this big move in the association. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you already doing that as I speak. And you can tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. But you know what's next? Here are your quick hit headliners. We'll start here locally for all of you MSU football fans out there. Jack Olson posted on social media on Saturday afternoon his intention to play college football for Michigan State. He is a kicker from Illinois. He has no star rating, I should say. 5'11", 170 pounds, who has offers from Army, Illinois State, Indiana, and Miami of Ohio, according to 247 Sports. Olson is the sixth player to commit to Michigan State for the class of 2020 and the first special teamer. This is what Jack Olson posted on Twitter. Quote, "I would like to thank Coach Mark D'Antonio and Coach Shane Graham for putting your trust in me. I am 100% committed to Michigan State. Hashtag Go Green." So again, Michigan State gets kicker Jack Olson. All right, the game between the Michigan baseball team and Florida State in the College World Series will take place tonight at 7 p.m. At TD Ameritrade Ballpark in Omaha, Nebraska. It will be shown on ESPN. So again, Michigan baseball keeping this dream alive of possibly stunning the baseball world collegiately and moving on to take on Florida State. Should be a fun game. And I tell you what, I mean, this is the farthest that, you know, this Wolverines team has been since the 80s. They got a 5-3 win over Texas Tech on Friday night, moving on in the college baseball World Series. So awesome stuff. 35 years since Michigan baseball has been on this stage. All right. So again, 7 p.m. tonight. Catch it on ESPN, Michigan and Florida State. And more news coming out of the camp of Michigan Athletics. The Wolverines have offered White Plains, New York Archbishop Sepinac wing A.J. Griffin Jr., marking the first reported offer that the University of Michigan men's basketball program has made to a prospect in the class of 2021. Griffin is a 6'7", 200-pound prospect, the number 10 overall recruit in his class, according to the 247 Sports Composite Rankings. He also received offers from Duke, Kansas, Vanderbilt, Villanova, and UCLA on Saturday, in addition to his tender from Juwan Howard and the Michigan men's basketball team. All right, the Detroit Tigers. He didn't throw any chairs or kick over the grease board, but Detroit Tigers manager Ron Gardenhire delivered a very stern and direct message in the Tigers clubhouse on Sunday after a no-compete, 8-0 blowout loss to the Cleveland Indians. Gardenhire flipped his wig. This is what he had to say after the game. Quote, frustrating day. It's the little things I talk about more than anything else. And I talked to the club about it, like not running balls out, little things which to me are unacceptable. And today we had a couple of those things happen. Those are the things I apologize for. That's not the way we play the game. We run balls out. Today wasn't one of those days. Whether it's getting beat down too many times in a row, I don't know, but we've got to fix this, end quote. So very stern and angry comments from Ron Gardenhire after that 8-0 blowout loss to the Cleveland Indians. The Tigers ended up getting swept in that weekend series. So, yeah, how about them Tigers, huh? All right, the Detroit Lions will participate in a second round of joint practices this summer, visiting the Houston Texans during the second week of the preseason. Those sessions will be held August 14th and 15th. At the Houston Methodist Training Center, and both will be open to the public. Detroit will host the world champion New England Patriots for joint practices the week before that, on August 5th to the 7th back in Allen Park. The first day of those practices will be open to season ticket holders, while days 2 and 3 will be open to the general public. Now, Detroit and New England then kick off the preseason with an exhibition matchup on August 8th at Ford Field. And congratulations to Gary Woodland. That was fun to watch yesterday as he held off charges from former champs Justin Rose and Brooks Koepka and fired a tremendous final round of 69 to win the 119th U.S. Open out in Cali at Pebble Beach. I love that course. And also, I want to correct myself. I stated last week on the show that that was a private course. No, that course is actually open to the public, but it's pretty exclusive in the fact that you gotta get lucky to book a tee time there, and if you do, it is going to cost you a month's worth of rent, maybe 2 months worth, depending on where you're living. All right, so that course is so gorgeous. I really enjoy watching those four rounds out in Cali at Pebble Beach. So the victory for Gary's first major championship comes after he held both the 36-hole and 54-hole leads in the tournament. Actually, when it comes to Gary, he had been 0-7 when it comes to closing out and finishing the deal after holding a lead after 54 holes. 0-7 after holding a 54-hole lead. So that losing streak came to an end yesterday. Those looking for drama on Sunday afternoon didn't get it, as Woodland not only avoided bogeys in his final six holes, but carded two birdies, including a 30-foot putt on the 18th. That was the perfect capstone to his tournament and moved him to 13 under par, one stroke better than Tiger Woods' score of 12 under from 2000. Woodland's four bogeys over the course of this year's U.S. Open tie for the fewest at the event in the last 50 years. Pretty remarkable. And also, I didn't even know you could do this, Connor. There was a moment over the weekend. It was yesterday. Where Gary Woodland actually, and I didn't even know you could do this. I thought this was against like the rule book of golf. But he chipped on the putting green. So he didn't use his putter on the green. He actually chipped it like he was in the first cut of rough. Never seen that before. I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know you could do that either.
I had no idea. Yeah, Google it. It's pretty awesome stuff. So, and it was beautiful too. Just gorgeous stuff. So congratulations to Gary Woodland. I'll have more on him later on in the show. And also, Tiger Woods, after finishing tied for 21st in the U.S. Open over the weekend, it appears that Tiger Woods is set to take some time off in the PGA Tour in the coming weeks. I was really hoping that we'd see him in Michigan, but no. If he remains true to his words, he will not be at the Rocket Mortgage Classic at the Detroit Golf Club at the end of the month. Speaking after his 2-under finish on Sunday, Woods commented that he plans to take some time away from competition for family time, and that any future playing between now and the British Open in July will be at home. So the Rocket Mortgage Classic is actually the first ever PGA Tour event to be held within the city of Detroit, and it already has the likes of Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Jimmy Walker, Xander Schauffele, and U.S. Open champ, and that's right, Gary Woodland, on the docket, on the schedule to be present here in Michigan for that event. But no Tiger Woods. All right. And if you were sleeping under a rock and did not hear, the Brow is heading to the City of Angels to join the King. That's right. The L.A. Lakers traded Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the number 4 pick as well in Thursday's draft, and 2 future first-round picks for Anthony Davis. So Anthony Davis and LeBron James on the same roster out in L.A.? Yeah, this sent shockwaves throughout the sporting world over the weekend. And also, ESPN is reporting that the Pelicans also got pick swap rights from the Lakers in 2023 and 2025. So we're talking 3 first-round picks involved in this deal as well as Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Josh Hart now shipped from L.A. to NOLA. So that's the foundational topic of today's current sports. Do you like this trade for the Lakers or the Pelicans more? How would you grade this, this trade for both teams? Who won? Is there a winner here? What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below that live stream. A few of you already doing that right now. And you can tweet us, tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Also tweet the show at WKAR News. Folks, again, happy Monday to you all. And once again, happy Father's Day to all of the dads out there. I really hope you had a great Father's Day on Sunday. Again, Connor Mathis behind the glass. Have a good weekend, Connor. You're not a dad, but I'm sure you chillaxed out here in the area. I know you being from West.
Ooh, no, missed it Virginia, again. Virginia. I've got to get a buzzer back here every time you do that.
See, how do you know I didn't do that on purpose? Just to tick you off on this one?
I don't know. You've been pretty consistent in making the mistakes. So, a little bit of correlation, a little bit of causation. I don't know.
Al. Not West Virginia, Virginia. So I know you weren't with the fam, but you were here in the area. What'd you do over the weekend, man? Anything exciting? No,
not really. It was kind of, we had the rainy day, so I kind of just stayed in and chilled. I applied for more jobs, and other than that, though.
Nice. Cool. Well, pretty low key. I just kind of relaxed too. I mean, that's Michigan for you, right? It was pretty rainy and cloudy and just much like today. Today is like that as well. So I stayed inside, played some Madden, worked out, went to the grocery store. I saw John Wick 3 yesterday, last night actually. Amazing movie. I mean, you talk about John Wick 3, John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. The official name of it. It has to be the most action-packed movie I've seen in the last 3 years. It's so good. The action scene. Have you seen it first, Connor?
No, I have to go see John Wick 3. I have to go see the new Godzilla movie. And then there's There's one other movie I really wanted to go see that's in theaters now.
I heard Godzilla is terrible. I also heard the new Man in Black. There are all these reboots, man. See, my goodness. Where's the originality in Hollywood?
You see, I heard people say the Godzilla that came before this was terrible, and I really liked that movie. I think a lot of people were just expecting it to be
like mind-blowing.
I'm like, this is a popcorn movie. It's summertime. Right. I want to go to movies. I just want a popcorn movie. It doesn't need to be Avengers Endgame complex. I just want a popcorn movie right now and then.
Well, maybe you enjoy it then. And Men in Black International, that actually led the box office over the weekend. Heard that wasn't that great, though. Tessa Thompson, Chris Hemsworth. Got to check it out just because I'm a Men in Black fan of Will Smith. But, yeah. So, solid weekend. And, you know, this added some spice to my weekend as a sports fan, and I'm sure yours as well. Anthony Davis is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Can you believe that? You know, and we kind of saw this coming, right? I mean, the Lakers had been rumored for weeks to have want to go after, Anthony Davis. They wanted to make this move, to make this move happen. And Anthony Davis came out and, you know, he kind of hinted toward that, okay, I either want to go to New York or L.A. That's what reports were saying. And we knew that if the Lakers did not land Anthony Davis, then whatever moves that they made in the offseason were going to pale in comparison to the possibility of landing AD. So, first off, let me lay out the facts here. Again, the LA Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans making this deal that has now shipped Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and 3 first-round picks from LA to New Orleans. And, of course, in return, the Lakers receive one of the most dynamic players of our time in Anthony Davis. And this is the big debate that's being had right now. I mean, who won this trade? Did the Lakers win this thing and getting AD now teaming up with LeBron James? Or did the Pelicans win this thing because the Lakers gave up so much to get the brow? And I'll say this. Now, this may be a cop-out answer, but I think both teams won here. And it all depends on, and I say this a lot as well, it depends on the lens in which you are viewing this trade. First angle I'm going to attack this from. When it comes to immediate success, you can probably go with the Lakers here. Because now you have the best superstar combo in the NBA, regardless of, what kind of talent surrounds LBJ and AD, this is a playoff team now. We can agree on that. I mean, Anthony Davis and LeBron James, barring, knock on wood, that these two players stay healthy, they are so good, so extremely talented, and you get AD, who's so young. I mean, what is he, like 25, 26 years old? You get him at this stage in his career, teaming up with LeBron James. If they stay healthy, those two alone, no matter who's around them, in today's NBA, that is a playoff team. Now, when it comes to some of those, and he's 26, thank you for that. Yeah, I figured 25, 26 years old. When it comes to the Lakers winning this whole thing and winning the NBA championship again, which they are now favorite, when you look at the Vegas odds, they shifted in a matter of minutes. The Lakers' odds to win an NBA championship, according to Vegas, is now at 3-1. That's the best odds in the NBA. I think that's a bit crazy. Okay, right now, when looking at this trade, we are all prisoners of the moment. For right now, is this a huge shift when it comes to the Lakers being a laughingstock to now a legit contender in the league? Yeah, without a doubt. But to sit there and say that this automatically, when looking at the way the roster is right now with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, with the players that they have surrounded around these players right now, those two superstars right now, to say that the Lakers are now the favorite to win the entire thing is insane. You are a prisoner of the moment. This roster needs some help. You know, you look at the Lakers right now, and it takes more than two stars. We know that, folks. Come on now. When you look at this Lakers roster, and this is what concerns me as well, because, you know, there's this big debate taking place when it comes to this conversation as to what the Lakers should do in addition to this trade to get Anthony Davis. And with the way things are set up right now, we're going to see the Lakers have cap space around about 23-24 mil. Reports came out soon after the Anthony Davis trade was announced. Reports came out that the Lakers are looking at trying to snag Kemba Walker from the Charlotte Hornets. Now, do I think that'd be a great move for the Lakers? Definitely. I mean, Kemba Walker is a dynamic talent. He really is. He is fun to watch, a bona fide star. He averaged 25.6 points per game, 4 rebounds, 6 assists across 82 games en route to earning his 3rd All-Star nomination and 1st All-NBA recognition. He's a star. He's a stud. But when you look at the cap space for the Lakers right now, and again, I'm saying 23 or 24 mil, not taking into account that Anthony Davis may want that 4 million trade bonus as well. We'll see what happens there. So that's limited cap space to try and go out and land a big fish like a Kemba Walker or any big fish for that matter. Now, there's a possibility. I don't think this is going to happen because, again, of the limited cap room now. But it's rumored out there that they're going to try and go after Kawhi Leonard. But what are you going to pay Kawhi? And I would imagine, and by the way, kind of correct me if I'm wrong, you're rocking your Toronto Raptors hat today. The Raptors are having their parade. They have had their parade. I think
it's going on right now. So if I'm not mistaken, they're still going on.
So, well, congratulations again to the Toronto Raptors who are celebrating, again, an NBA championship, the first NBA championship in Toronto Raptors history. So, but this news, on any other regular NBA news day, that will be dominating the headlines. But no, this is much bigger. I'm sorry, but this is the big news, right? AD to LA. So congratulations to the Raptors. But back to my point here, when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, if they land Kawhi Leonard, that'd be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's realistic, but that rumor is out there as well. But the cap space is limited. So this is what you got to do right now. This roster is not going to win an NBA championship. I'm sorry. LeBron is great. AD is unreal. But you need more than two stars in the league to win a championship. You saw what Toronto did, for goodness sake. Just look at that blueprint. You know, you have two stars in Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard. And you know what Toronto did with that talent? Well, they surrounded that talent with savvy veterans, talented individuals who aren't super, superstars, but are smart, solid, consistent players. Pascal Siakam. Look at Danny Green. Now, I could go on and on and on down the list when it comes to that team. Toronto, that blueprint, that's the kind of blueprint that you need if you're going to reach that next level. So for me, I would like the Lakers, if they you know, want to go after a championship legitimately here, and for those out there to really have some credibility behind saying that the Lakers are going to win a championship next year, I would like to see the Lakers surround Anthony Davis and LeBron James with smart, savvy veterans who are going to regularly contribute on a consistent basis to this LA roster. That is what you need. I don't think they need to go out there and land another big fish. First off, I don't think they can with the way the cap space is set up. And secondly, I don't think it's needed. If you go out there and get some solid, experienced, smart players, then we're talking. They're going to make some more moves, without a doubt. We know that. I'm curious to see who they land. And the whole Lakers blueprint last season just didn't make any sense. I mean, you look at some of the players that LeBron James was surrounded with. Rajon Rondo, I didn't get that one. Lance Stevenson, I really didn't understand that one either. Other players like Brandon Ingram. That's the thing. I'm going to get to the Pelicans in just a minute. Brandon Ingram, JaVale McGee, Kentavious Caldwell Pope, Reggie Bullock. You're not going to go on and on and on down here. But this roster was just like they just threw it together. You know, they didn't think about any kind of strategy or what LeBron truly needed. And that mentality has to shift here. You know, LeBron and AD alone, those two alone can get you to the playoffs. But when it comes to getting LeBron another ring, it's going to take more than LeBron and AD here. More moves have to be made. I mean, who's going to run point guard for you? Now, I love Kyle Kuzma. That's another thing that is. I'm glad that they kept Kuz. I love Kyle Kuzma. He's fantastic. And if they would have given up him, I would have rather they gave up, and we could go back and forth on this all day. But they made the right move in giving up Lonzo Ball and not Kyle Kuzma. Now, Lonzo Ball can't stay healthy. He's a solid player. You know, Lonzo is solid. A lot of people like to you know, bag on him because of his dad and, you know, all of the attention and the reality show and blah, blah, blah. But when you really look at Lonzo's game, he's not a bad player. You know, when he's healthy, he's solid. You know, he averaged 10 points, 6 assists, 6 rebounds. 4 assists and 4 rebounds away from averaging a triple-double. Shot 38% from the field. That's solid. That's solid stuff. You know, that's just a solid NBA player. Not a superstar. Heck, not even probably a star. But that's solid productivity, especially from, you know, a starting guard in today's NBA. The Lakers need to go out there, in my opinion, and sprinkle out veteran talent to be, you know, to be a, you know, a legit championship contender. So let's pump the brakes just a bit on the hype, in my opinion. Now, when it comes to the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, I give them an A++ in this trade. I mean, my goodness, you know, Lonzo Ball, again, as I stated, solid guard in the league today. Brandon Ingram, he's a pretty good young talent as well. Josh Hart, a guy you can bring off the bench and he can give you some solid productivity. And then you get 3 first-round picks as well in this deal. And that does include that Lakers 4th-round pick come this week. So, 4th overall pick come this week. So when it comes to this overall win for the Pelicans, it is a win in every facet of the word. And then you look at the future of this franchise. You know, when we're looking at 2 to 5 years down the road, I think the Pelicans win this trade, actually, because LeBron James will be, 40 years old at the time. You know, he's not going to be logging a ton of minutes. You know, there's one undefeated thing in the world of sports, right? And that's father time. So he's going to slow down. His minutes are going to go down. His productivity is going to go down. I can't see LeBron James playing at this level when he's 40 years old unless, I don't know, you know, he goes in some kind of time machine and turns back the clock. I don't know. What was that thing? Are you a Dragon Ball Z fan, Connor? Oh, you're not a Dragon Ball Z fan? Come on, dude.
All my brothers are, but I never got into Dragon Ball Z as a kid.
Well, there was this thing, and I can't remember the name of it, where, you know, like Vegeta, one of my favorite characters, or Goku, they would like go into this little ball that like heals you and turns the clock back on your body. You know, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about if LeBron James is still putting up these crazy numbers at the age of 40 years old. Not likely. AD will be in his prime, but we don't know what the rest of that roster is going to look like for the Lakers. Now, when it comes to the Pelicans, You know, they've got a lot of young, talented pieces. Watch out for New Orleans down the road, folks, because this team could be really, really, really good. So the Pelicans win when it comes to looking down the future tunnel of the association, that 2 to 5 year window for the Pelicans. They certainly win this. This was a great deal orchestrated on both ends, I think. And the Lakers have been a laughingstock. You know, it seemed like at the very beginning of May, every single week I was bringing to you an incredibly laughable story, a joke, it seemed like, when it comes to the L.A. Lakers and what was happening with that team. But it's just with, you know, in one day, with one move, the L.A. Lakers have now become a legit title contender, I think. But to sit here and say that they're going to win the whole thing, there's still some moves to be made. There's still some things that have to pan out for this franchise in order for that to happen. So, you know, I'm curious to see what the Lakers are going to do when it comes to surrounding this talent of LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'm not laughing at what's possible from here. I was laughing at this franchise again at the beginning of May. But now, you know, you really have to look at the L.A. Lakers as being credible competitively in the league. And Anthony Davis, I mean, my goodness, he's so good. He can do so many things for you. You know, he can take you outside, inside. He's also a nightmare defensively. I think this move is also going to allow LeBron James to play more defense on the perimeter. He doesn't have to worry about when a guard drives on him, oh, my goodness, who's going to protect the rim? Well, AD is going to be right there protecting that rim. So, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch. All I'm saying is, folks, just pump the brakes a bit here. Pump the brakes a bit, because there are a lot of Laker fans out there that immediately want to start planning for a parade. You know, I've seen so many takes out there. Jubilation, oh yeah, we're going to the finals, blah, 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 blah. Are you kidding me? Just stop it. You know, there are still a lot of question marks for me. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, I'll get thoughts of Connor Mathis. We'll also read some of your comments coming in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, you can tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Again, we are talking about Anthony Davis rocking now the purple and the gold. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have been talking about Anthony Davis to the L.A. Lakers. You know, you heard my thoughts on this. There are still a lot of pieces, I believe, that the Lakers need to fill out before we start saying L.A. Lakers championship in 2021. Okay? When you look at this roster, it's going to take more than LeBron James and Anthony Davis alone. I like Kyle Kuzma. That's going to be three of your five starters there. But you need shooters. You need savvy, smart veterans, in my opinion. And that's what the Lakers should now be focusing on. Connor, what are your thoughts on this trade? Who wins? Who loses? Is there a loser? I think it's a win-win on both sides here. The Lakers want to win immediately. They want to win now and take advantage of LeBron's
years, the top years that he has left being, you know, that the fact that he's, you know, what, 35 years old, 34, 35 years old. Anthony Davis is now going to be on this team for the foreseeable future. He's 26 years old, still got a lot of basketball left to play. But there is a window of opportunity here that this franchise wants to capitalize on. That's why I believe it's a win for the Lakers. But again, still some work to do with that roster. I keep emphasizing that. When it comes to the Pelicans, when you look at the long-term success for this team, watch out for Nola. You know, again, that 2 to 5 year down the road outlook for New Orleans looks pretty good, in my opinion. And three future first round picks, including that fourth overall draft pick, this is a solid move on both sides. How do you see this?
I see, if I were grading it, I'd say L.A. gets probably an A in my book, and New Orleans gets a B+. And I say that for this reason. You know, L.A., obviously, you have to capitalize on LeBron. They had a decision they had to make at the beginning of this offseason. Are we going to just scrap the whole LeBron experiment and hit a hard reset, or are we going to, you know, build around LeBron? They opted for the build around LeBron. So I like them going out and getting Anthony Davis. The reason why I grade the Pelicans side a little bit less is for a couple reasons. One, both Lonzo and Ingram are going into restricted free agency. Now, you know, again, restricted free agency, you can, you know, you're able to match any offer from another team. But with that being said, are the Pelicans going to want to shoal out that amount of money for Lonzo Ball, who is, in my opinion, just another guy in the NBA, not bad, but not a star, and, you know, and Brandon Ingram, I think, has a lot more upside than Lonzo, just because he has a lot more potential. You see there's improvements in his game. He's kind of going up the levels of the NBA. I really like Josh Hart as a bench role player, and possibly if he develops maybe like a six man type role. And I like the first round picks, but for me, they just are slightly below in like winning and losing the trade because of the, you know, they got guys with potential. They didn't get like tangible, like, oh yeah, these guys are going to come in and we're going to get Zion Williamson with the first overall pick. And then we're going to be a, you know, maybe not a playoff team, but like, maybe we're going to be at the edge of the playoffs kind of deal. So they're kind of hedging their bets on the future, which, you know, can't blame them for doing, but I like that they got all those picks.
I also got to make this point as well, Connor, because this there's an important aspect to this that hasn't been brought up a lot, and it's important for a few reasons here. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski and Bobby Marks, the AD to LA deal is expected to be completed on July 6th. Now, you may be listening to that and saying, okay, so what, Al? Well, that's important, very important, for financial reasons. And I don't know why. I don't know why it's set up this way. This is just how it is. According to Woj, had the two teams waited until July 30th to finalize the move, the Lakers would have had over $32 million in cap space. Now, that's enough to possibly sign another max level player, say a Kemba Walker, for example, right? That bumps up to $32 million, Connor. Now, again, it's not expected to be completed by, it's expected to be completed on July 6th. So, by waiting 30 days, the Lakers would be acting like a team over the cap and thus allowed to use the fourth overall pick in draft as salary, really. So, you know, when it comes down to this, you know, for now, again, AD completing, you know, this whole trade for AD being completed on July 6th, assuming Davis declines, I think he will, because at the end of the day, I think AD realizes that, okay, this will be a small sacrifice at the end of the day to try and, you know, surround both myself and LeBron James.
Build a real contender.
What's that?
To build a real contender.
To build a real contender, exactly. So I think he'll waive that $4 million trade bonus. That leaves the Lakers. That would leave the Lakers with $23.7 million in cap space. And there's a chance that could be amended to July 30th. But it's still on the 6th for now. But that's an important aspect to this. For me personally, I think that if they were to get, you know, Kemba Walker, and you look at the financial strain that would cause on this roster, I, again, that would be the wrong move. In my estimation, I think that when you look at the cap space that they currently have right now, Connor, and I think they have to sprinkle that out to other players, to other talent. I don't think you need Kemba Walker or, heck, even Kawhi Leonard for that estimation. Now, goodness, Kawhi Leonard is so good, though, right? I mean, he's so, so talented. If you get Kawhi Leonard,
I don't think it matters.
And LeBron James, that would be enticing. But call me crazy, but I still don't think that's enough to win an NBA championship. You need guys coming off the bench. You need shooters. It's much more deeper than this. But gosh, if Kawhi is out there and he's willing to come over, oh boy.
That'd be insane.
That would be insane. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that's like a pipe dream for LA Lakers fans. I don't think that's going to happen, but goodness, you at least got to think about that. But this roster needs more help in other areas right now, and I don't know why that is. That's crazy to me. That's this whole July 30th and July 6th situation and how it impacts this team financially, because that's pretty big. I mean, from 23 mil to 32 mil, that's a pretty significant jump that may entice a superstar to come over.
I think it has something to do with when the official league year starts, as opposed to, you know, when we, the fans, think the league year, the new league year starts.
Well, because, NBA free agency is set to begin on July 1st.
June 30th, now they amended it, so it's June 30th, because they didn't want another Magic Johnson-type situation.
Well, I'm reading here, it says July 1st. First, maybe
the moratorium might start up on like June 30th. That might be the condition they made, because I remember reading the NBA wanted to avoid the situation of where GMs and basketball presidents are sitting outside of a player's house waiting for midnight to strike before they go and they talk to them.
Right,
but you know, with the money thing, there if the Lakers make the right moves here, they could have anywhere between 23 and possibly 28 million. I mean, that's still enough to, maybe you're not getting the star.
No,
you're getting those solid NBA guys, which I don't think is the worst thing for them. I mean, okay, in the West next year, I think really the biggest threats in the West next year are going to be Nuggets, Trailblazers, and Rockets. But the Rockets are probably going to go through an overhaul themselves. So realistically, you know, the returning powers that be, Nuggets and Trailblazers. But you know, if the Lakers just kind of can build their role players up now, maybe making another trade, because they have another young guy here, Alex Caruso, who's a $1 million cap hold. Maybe they trade him and get like back a second round pick or something. Just, you know, build your role players this year, because next year there's going to be a max slot that's open, because you're going to have Kyle Kuzma is going to go into restricted free agency, which, you know, again. Sure, he could possibly sign somewhere else, but you can match that if you're the Lakers, and I'm pretty sure they have bird ears on. They could go over the cap for that. Right. So there's going to be a slot available. So if I were in the Lakers' position, I'd build my supporting cast this year and see how that goes with AD and LeBron, because you never know. The West is going to look so different next year. We don't know if Kawhi's going West. We don't know where Kevin Durant's going to end up. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are going to be out basically for the whole year. The Warriors are not going to be what they were. By all indication, the Rockets are not going to be what they were. Mm-hmm. So the West is going to be completely different. And maybe if you just build a decent supporting cast, maybe you use LeBron's experience and you can sneak past the Nuggets, who are still a fairly young team, and then you have to deal with like with Portland. But if you build a supporting cast, just see what you got.
I agree.
Some young talent in there.
For me, that's the blueprint.
Yeah, and then next year when you have that max slot, go out and get your third superstar, or go out and get your aging star who's ring chasing. Whatever it may be, this year should be your layer foundation. You got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis, and that's great. Give them some support players.
The blueprint for me is Toronto. That's how you do it. That's how you win. And heck, even Golden State recognizes that they need more than two stars. You know what I mean? So they got five. You know what I mean? It's at the end of the day, looking at LeBron and AD is going to take more than that. And I'll get Toronto. I mean, my goodness, you know, especially when you have an aging superstar like LeBron James. I mean, Toronto surrounded Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard with guys like Fred VanVleet, Serge Ibaka, you know, Marc Gasol, Pascal Siakam, you know, Danny Green. guys who came in and were big time. And you can make an argument, again, in that final game to close things out, Fred VanVleet was the best player on that Toronto Raptors roster at that moment in time. So, you know, it's going to be – I think the Lakers organization, hopefully, they understand this. They get this. I think LeBron understands this. They're going to try and see and, you know, at least listen to what, you know, Charlotte is talking about when it comes to Kemba Walker, as you should. You know, they're going to try and see, you know, what Kawhi Leonard is thinking. There's also a rumor that Kawhi Leonard may go to, you know, the L.A. Clippers. That's another thing out there because they're willing to pay him whatever. And my goodness, if Kawhi – can you imagine Kawhi Leonard on the L.A. Clippers? Oh, my goodness. Watch out
The Clippers are literally a team of supporting cast who desperately need a star. I mean, that exactly. It'd be Raptors 2.0. But then, you right. know, talking about the Raptors blueprint versus, like, the Golden State blueprint, Golden State's blueprint of five All-Stars came to bite them in the rear this finals because
yeah. –
They didn't have a bench.
They did not.
There's no bench. So if you're the LA and you look at that, you look at what Toronto did. A combination of bringing in older guys who are tight, who are still, you know, maybe not in their prime, but they're looking for titles. And you do some player development. I mean, the guys in Toronto, VanVleet, undrafted, Pascal Siakam. These aren't guys that were taken in the top 10. So if you're in LA shoes, and maybe you're not the biggest fan of Alex Caruso, maybe you're not the biggest fan of Isaac Bonga, and you can trade them for even a second round pick. That's huge. Just establish some development because you know when push them to go game on the line. You've got LeBron, Anthony Davis. You don't have to worry about that. But during the times when they need rest, the middle of the third quarter, the end of the second quarter, when you need to just hold the lead, you're going to need some role players to do that.
Yes, you do. All right, so we'll see what happens, man. This is going to be fun to watch next season, without a doubt. I can tell you that. I love watching AD ball out. I love watching, you know, LeBron James as well. The playoffs just felt kind of weird without him on the basketball court. Now, Lakers are going to make the playoffs. We all know that. That is etched in stone. It's just a matter of what other pieces LeBron and AD are going to be playing with. Alongside Kyle Kuzma as well. It's in our final break, and when I come back, we will have weekend winners for you. I want to talk about the U.S. Open and Gary Woodland, what he was able to do in Cali. That was fun to watch. That was also fun to watch. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, to close out the hour here, I do want to comment on Gary Woodland and what he was able to do at the U.S. Open, Pebble Beach, California. Gary Woodland won the U.S. Open. Pretty fun to watch. I had a good time watching that yesterday, and he's my weekend winner. And, you know, whether it was, you know, that three wood from like 260, or again, the lob wedge. Yeah, he chipped it on the putting surface. I mean, those were huge moments out in Pebble Beach. And Gary Woodland, he lived up to the moment. You know, I mentioned at the top of the hour how he was 0-7 when it came to closing out the deal after holding the lead after 54 holes. And he finally gets the job done. And I also mentioned that, you know, he's one of the most beloved guys on the tour. He's so friendly. Just a nice guy. And you saw that after he knocked in that long, long putt for birdie on the 18th. There were so many guys on tour that came up to him and congratulated him. He needed three putts to win. And that was a 30-foot birdie for a 2-under-69, giving him the lowest 72-hole score in six U.S. Opens at Pebble Beach and a three-shot victory over Brooks Koepka, raising both arms to the air, saluting the crowd. It was awesome to watch, man. It really was. And you know, Gary, he's not. And this is the thing, when it comes to the popularity of a sport, when it comes to carrying a sport, you know, you got to be more than just good. You got to have some personality. And Gary Woodland, he's kind of boring. I can't even lie. You know, just not a really. And you look at Gary Woodland and you hear him talk, and his personality is kind of dry. He's just one of those guys that just makes it look easy, and he just goes out there and competes. And he's a heck of a player. He really is. When it comes to the guy who moves the needle in the world of golf, Tiger Woods, Eldrick, he didn't play great. He didn't play great throughout the four rounds. And, you know, it frustrated me. You guys know how big of a Tiger Woods fan I am. But he just got off to bad starts. You know, and this is the thing about Tiger over the weekend at Pebble Beach. He made the easy holes, quote unquote easy hole at Pebble Beach. I don't know if you can call any hole easy at Pebble Beach, but the holes where you started to see a lot of the tour shoot low on, Tiger played pitiful. You know, bogeys, and you know, he would hit it in a sand trap and, you know, miss an easy putt, and it's like, what are you doing, Tig? And the holes that were really hard at the U.S. Open over the weekend, he made those look easy. You know, it was like, what is going on right now? And he had a pretty good final round. You know, he finished tied for 21st, and, you know, he shot his best final at the U.S. Open in 10 years on Sunday, 2 under par 69. After he bogeyed four of his first six holes, he played the final 12 holes 6 under par. That's amazing. You know, so Tiger, I don't know what it is, you know, maybe his but you know, you would think, you know, his body would break down later on in the round. You know, you'd think he would start hot and then he would break down as the round would go on, but he got better as the rounds went on. And for me, that sounds like it's a mental thing. So it may be good that Tiger is taking some time off. We will not see him in Michigan later on this month. The next time we'll see Tiger Woods is at the Open, you know. But, you know, he's got to get off to better starts. That was the big thing for me. But congratulations to Gary Woodland. Certainly deserving of winning his first major. We'll see you Tuesday, folks. Have a great afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.